How are we? Good to see you all. Good to see you all. We're going to stand for the reading of God's word, and I'd just like you to do that, and it'll be up on the screen, but this is a moment of honouring the living word of God, the living word of God. So Matthew chapter 5 verse 13 says this, you are the salt of the earth. You can read it if it's on the screen. But if the salt loses its flavour, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. That's good, isn't it? Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So God, I thank you this morning. God, I thank you for your living word. I thank you, Jesus, that you are the word. You are the living word. You are our Savior. You are an eternal word. Thank you, God, this word is living and breathing. God, I thank you that your word has something to impart today to all of us through the work of the Holy Spirit. So let's just take a moment. Would you, if you can do this, would you open up your heart? Would you just say, speak, Jesus? Can you say that? Speak, Jesus. I thank you, God. Amen. You can sit down. You can sit down. You know, one of the scariest memories that I have, almost, I'm using this a little bit poetically, if I say that, but one of the scariest memories I have is when Eve and I were living in Melbourne, and we were part of an internship program, which meant simply that we were in a church and we were learning how to be pastors. And one day, for the activity that we were given, so David and Eve, this is in Box Hill, Melbourne, you need to just get out and go up on the couple of streets behind here, and I want you to knock on doors, and I want you to witness. I want you to just go kind of cold calling and just see what happens. Open the doors and talk. We were petrified. It was like, I'd rather go to the dentist, honestly. it was just something that wasn't at all anything we felt a grace for or a gift for, and we had all these excuses. And I remember walking up and down the street, Eve and I, sort of saying, "Darling, can we do this?" And we chickened out a bit. I think we might have tried one or two doors. And then there was another time when we were at Bible College, just a few years before that, here in Epping in Sydney, and our Bible College principal took us into King's Cross, and he said, "I want you to preach." And I just want you to preach like open-air preaching. I don't know whether you guys are familiar with this kind of idea. But it was like the most petrifying thing that we could ever do. And I'd never even been in King's Cross. I was just so culture shocked. And then we went to the Domain. And it was the same thing. Back then, it may still happen, but in this era, this is in the 80s, in the Domain, a big park in Sydney, they used to have what they called soap boxes. Anybody know about this? And on the soap boxes, you know, whether you were a Christian, whether you were, you know, I don't know, some kind of activist or a communist or whatever that it might be, you could get up on a soapbox and you could just spruik your message, and it was like he with the biggest crowd wins sort of thing. And so it was the same thing, and I'm thinking, this has to be the most difficult thing I can imagine to let my light shine. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is the most difficult thing I can think of. God, how can I love you, follow you, be a disciple, be someone who wants to talk about your love? And if this is what it looks like, this is unbelievably hard. And today's message is really a little bit of bringing you on the journey for why it is where we do the Bedford. And secondly, it's bringing you on a bit of a personal journey that I've walked in my own kind of growing up. I'm still growing up, by the way. But nonetheless, thank you. It's kind of my journey for how it is that God's been working on my heart to let my light shine. to let my light shine. That's really what today's about. So what does it look like, God, to let our light shine? Are you all okay? Yeah? Very good. Let your light shine. You know, I feel like God never stops, honestly, in changing and growing us. And when I was at university, I spent 3 years in Adelaide University as kind of the most shy, introverted, hardly mixed with anybody kind of guy. And I used to go to my lectures and then kind of bolt to the library and get in a little cubicle. And I wasn't letting my light shine whatsoever. I had no idea how to actually share my faith. But over the years, God changes us, and we get to, like, to yesterday, and it's like my biggest joy is to be out there in that public space and just see what God does in the adventure of actually following him and seeing what he can do when we're willing to let, think about that, verse 16 says, let your light shine before men. That tells me that we can either let our light shine or we can not let our light shine. It tells me that we have some kind of a freedom of choice as to whether we do or whether we don't. So I'm going to share what I believe are some principles for, if you like, reimagining evangelism. I want to thank Laurie. You must have been reading my notes somehow. But isn't that cool when the Holy Spirit weaves things together? Because Laurie quoted Matthew 5, and he also quoted Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, which is also in my notes today. So I don't know what you're doing, mate, but you must have some kind of cyber thing going on. But that's the Holy Spirit, right? Can we thank God today for actually weaving things together? So one of the best known Bible verses, I think, there's probably several that would rate for this kind of recognition, but is John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him would not perish but have eternal life. So, first of all, for God so loved. I feel like the biggest adventure of being a Christian and being a believer and walking around and doing life is that we get to love like God loves. You know, someone recently was sharing with me their kind of desire to grow in how they could connect to people and be a light. And the thing about God's love, it is uniquely God's love that actually gets to love in us. We're talking about agape love. We're talking about agape love. This is the most incredible thought that God can actually put inside of me, the way that he loves. But when God so loved the world, there is a definitive, specific type of love. It is love that belongs exclusively to the Christian community. Think about that. It is love that belongs exclusively to the Christian community. And I want to do a shout out for everyone in Hornsby and around our city who gives their lives and their efforts for the community. And there's many community groups who do that. And there's many people who are good intention in what they do. But I also believe it's important as a Christian church to understand the point of difference that we bring when we do what we do. We are the only, it's not like we can claim fame for it because it's God's love. But nonetheless, when we are out and about doing what we do, not only the Bedford, but wherever that it is that you go, you carry the love of God. It is love by choice. It's love by an act of the will. It's love that is unconditional. It's love that does not need an affinity, a chemistry, or even a feeling. Think about that. It is love by choice. How is it that we can be here in this room? Look at us. Incredible group of people, but we're also different, aren't we? If you think about it, different backgrounds, some different nation groups, different ages, different careers, you know, so many different things, different hobbies, so much that is different about us. But what makes us a community is actually that we have the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts, and it actually lets us love one another like God loves. And that is the uniqueness of being believers today. We actually get to carry this agape love, for God so loved the world. But think about what God did to love the world. He sent his son. He sent his son. Now, today, this is a gathering of believers. This is good. We're meant to be doing this. But we're meant to be doing this. But we're not only meant to gather, we're also meant to go. Not only meant to gather, we're meant to go. As Jesus said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel, make disciples. We're meant to go. God loved the world that he gave. This word give, again, is a sensational word. And days like yesterday, and again, it's just kind of, I'm making a bit of a story to teach out of when I talk about yesterday in the Bedford. If you weren't there, it's not meant to in any sense condemn you, but I'm just sharing what actually happened. I'm going to let you know, there was one person who got up at 5:30 yesterday to drive from where they were to come and be at the Bedford by 8:00 to help set up. Now, that person is giving. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when you give, you actually carry with you an anointing and a power and a sense of sacrifice that brings a willing heart. And so that person who gave is participating in the same heart when God gave. What did he give? He gave his only son. He gave his most precious gift. When we give as a Christian community, it actually is many things, but it will always involve sacrifice, it will always involve cost, and it will always involve some sense of withholding from another part of our lives that we can give. Someone else, several people have given significant finance that yesterday could happen. Those people know what it is to give sacrificially, and that is part of the same heart when God gave. By the way, the word give is didomai. It actually, one version of it is adventure. I kind of like this because for me, the Bedford has been, it's been many things. But it has been an adventure. From when we first saw it sitting on the farm back in Yass about 4 years ago, and I just saw it up there through the cold mist of this sheep farm, and I thought, Lord, I think that could be our vehicle. And I just had this dream. How cool would it be if we could take something that looked a bit unique and looked a bit different and we could take it where people are? I was aware people don't get up on Sundays or Saturdays and think about going to church. I was aware that many times, as good as gatherings are like this, that the people we actually want to reach aren't thinking about coming here and they don't come here. And I thought, wouldn't it be good if we had something where we could go where people are? Wouldn't it be good if we had something that was set up so that it didn't require like a massive amount of setup? I mean, yes, it does still involve a bit of work, but could we have a vehicle that was professionally equipped, that was kind of felt good to be in, worked well for volunteers? And anyway, I spoke to the farmer and he said, it's not my vehicle, David. And I said, okay, who is it? Who does it belong to? He said, well, actually, the owners live in Nambucca Heads. So I thought, great, give me your number. And he gave me the number. And John Lockyer, who's here today, might well remember. It took a lot of courage for me. And we were at a conference, John and I and a few others. And I thought, I have to ring that phone number and talk to this person. So I summoned up the courage, phoned them up, and said, my name's David, I'm from a church. We want to use this vehicle to actually reach people. We'd like to turn it into a coffee van. And this, on the other line, this person said, well, actually, I'm a pastor, and we had the same vision for the vehicle, but we never got to do it, and it's kind of become a bit too hard for us. And I said, well, maybe we could come to an arrangement to beg, borrow, or steal the vehicle, But that's what I said, because I like to go a bit kind of jokey. I'm a bit like Nigel. You've got to bring a bit of humour into negotiations. So anyway, they said, we'll pray about it. So they called me back and said, David, we want to give the vehicle to you and we'll give it to your church. And giving and going is an adventure. It's been an adventure ever since when NRMA in Canberra actually sponsored some of the repairs on the car. When one of my dad's mates who is kind of a struggling person with various of his own issues, but he was one of those kind of, if I can use this language, he was a cocky mechanic, like a bush mechanic, and he just knew how to fix old Holden engines. It had a wasp nest in the engine, let me tell you. But see, it's an adventure, and my dad got to disciple this man because he was helping on the Bedford, and then on and on come the stories and people who gave, and here we are, and we're in them all, and God's moving. It's an adventure to give, but it does cost. Love that is unconditional always costs, but there's a grace for it, and I love the grace that God is giving us for what he's doing. You are the light of the world. Think about that. You are actually, you're phosphorus. I preached about this a few weeks ago, but there is a luminescence about you. You may not know it, but there's a luminescence about you. Why is it that people could walk past yesterday and just do a double take? This happened probably three or four times, and they'd come back, and I happened to be, and they'd say, like, what is this? There is a light that emanates from you and from gathered Christians. There is a light. It is a tangible display of God. There's something about being God's people in a public space like that. You are the light of the world. You are luminous. You are an illuminator. But I want to let you know that relationship without revelation carries no light. What do I mean by this? We have a high value on relationship. God has a high value. God has a high value. What do the angels say about Jesus? His name is Emmanuel, God with us. God, that's relationship. God loved the world so much that he sent his son, that Jesus could be with us. He could be Emmanuel. This is the withness of God. But relationship without revelation carries no light. We can have as much relationship as we kind of can give, but if we don't carry the living, revealing work of God in our hearts as he speaks to us and walks with us. I mean, when even I got up yesterday morning, and often when we head into the Bedford weekends, like I've said, there's all kinds of stuff that goes on, all kinds of things that come against it, and opposition things, and all kinds of stuff. But I knew when I got up in yesterday morning, I needed to have some revelation. And we opened up our Bibles, and God spoke, and he just reminded us of who God is and who Jesus is. And there was something about who God is. The scripture said that God is love, and Jesus persevered in love. And that was just enough to say, thank you, God. I want to carry your love, and I want to carry the persevering love of Jesus that doesn't give up. And that brings revelation in that moment into my heart, and gives me a power that I can go into that space with. It gives an anointing, and I would be useless if I don't have revelation. I carry no power. You carry no power. And I encourage us today, it's not just about being with people, as good as that is. It's not just about loving people, as good as that is. It's actually about being in the presence of God, that we can carry some kind of rhema from God, something that actually he has spoken to us, something that stirs up our soul, stirs up our spirit, something that puts life inside of us. But Emmanuel, God is with us. Why do I think the Bedford sort of concept works? Because it's a shared presence. It's a shared presence. I can walk by myself into any part of Sydney or Hornsby, and if it's just me and I'm one light carrier in a dark place, that's a battle. But if I go into a dark place and I've got my brothers and sisters around me, and I've got other light carriers, and I've got other luminous people, then that actually is enough to create an ecosystem. Do you understand? That's actually enough to actually change a space, to actually change a physical locality, to change an atmosphere, to actually bring something that wasn't there before, to bring something that actually overpowers the darkness. Because Emmanuel is God with us. We were never meant to have God with us as individuals. That's not how we're designed. We're meant to experience the presence of God together. We're meant to experience as community. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so the power of God with us is never just by ourselves. We need to, and it's good. It's good to experience God by ourselves. I believe in that. But there's a wonder for what happens in the luminosity of when there's a gathered people, and that's enough to create an ecosystem. Yesterday, this young guy walked up to me. And I said, you know, I'm a bit naughty because I often give away things. The team are very gracious. You know, someone will buy a coffee and I'll say, hey, would you like a, you know, I'll get you a scone on the house. And anyway, with this bloke, that happened and we sat down on the steps. And as soon as someone sits down, I can see the Father moving because they're staying. Do you understand? Jesus said, I only ever do what I see the Father do. Something I love and I'm getting to kind of, I think, increase in is just being aware. God, I think you're moving right now. This guy sits on the steps and he was almost by body language saying, come and sit with me. So I sat with him. You got to be a little bit bold, right? But sensitive. And I sat with him and we're talking away. And then he began to say to me, I had an accident at work. Yeah, instantly my ear pricks up. So I think, you beauty, I think there's a chance to pray for this guy. So I said, oh, what happened? And he's a car detailer, right? And he slipped and fell. He fell on his right side. And he said, and my, you know, my whole shoulder and my arm. And I said, is it sore now? It is actually, he said. So I said, well, could I pray for you? He said, okay. So I said, okay, I'll come around this side. I was positioning myself, right? So I was actually next to the side that was weak. And I said, can I touch you as I pray? Yes, you can. So we prayed and he started to kind of go like that. He said, it's starting to feel better. I said, well, that's God. And but anyway, he then started to say, you know, my dad died when I was 6 years of age. He started to just unburden himself. And he said, I've never got over that. And he said, and I just carry this kind of hurt in my heart. And he said, and he talks about it. I said, well, is your mum alive? Yes. He said, yeah, I should really, he said, my mum called me up last week and said, where are you, son? And I said, you need to see your mum. You need to love your mum. And so we kind of shared about relationship and life. But can you see what happened? That by the Holy Spirit leading me to pray for this guy, it opened up his heart. And out comes all the real hurt, the real stuff that needs healing, the real cause of the anguish in his heart. And I was able to encourage him, pray for him, give him our Hive card. And he said, look, one day I'll have the courage to come and to call you up. And I said, well, awesome, you know, you can do that anytime. But it's an adventure. It's a total adventure. But it happened because God was with us. I want to thank everyone who came yesterday. And again, I know we all have many things on our weekend, so it's not in any sense saying, if you weren't there, you should have come. That's not my heart. But I want to let you know, there was something that happened yesterday because God was with us. And usness creates presence. And usness creates attraction. People are walking past and saying, well, how come you're doing it at $3, coffee at $3? I wished I bought one. And then I said, well, everyone here's a volunteer. That astounds people. They can't wrap their heads around. I said, well, this is not an economic venture. This is not a business. We're actually here to give, right? Because God so loved the world that he gave. The most pleasurable thing you can do is to give. The best way to forget about your own problems is to give. The best way to actually create a bit more health inside is to be a giver. And I commend the people I'm getting to know here in this space. There's so many givers in this room. But we actually get to reflect the mighty God that we love and serve when we give. When it says Emmanuel, it actually means the mighty one, the deity, the one true God, true power, true strength, true ability is with us. I mean, how could it not be an empowering place yesterday? Because the mighty God was with us. The mighty God was with us. I was talking to Elaine, and we were just talking about how it was kind of like you could almost trip over yourself because it was so easy to talk to complete strangers. How can that happen? It happens because God is with us. Do you follow what I'm saying? I want to do a shout out for everybody who was inside the van, because making coffee, making scones, serving, all that kind of stuff, that actually enables God to be with us, because God is with us in the van and outside the van, and the more people there are who are actually creating a different dynamic in Hornsby, then the more powerful it becomes. So God is with us. Praise God. He is a wonderful, wonderful God. You know, the story of Philip, and it was referred to briefly by Laurie. I want to refer to it myself. Sometimes we talk about a divine appointment, and I wanted to teach you just briefly from this story this kind of truth about what a divine appointment is. I have this belief, just from getting to know Jesus, there are some things Jesus did and some things that he did not do, because he only did what he saw the Father do. And that leads me to believe there are some things that I can do as a Christian which won't necessarily be fruitful. There's things I can choose to do which will be more fruitful. And those things are those things that are positioned by the sovereign workings of God. And in Acts chapter 8, this is after all a story of the acts of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 8 verse 26, there is this amazing story of this dude called Philip, who's spoken to by an angel, and the angel just says, go to the south on the road. And so Philip just got up and did it. He didn't even know who it was that he was going to meet. And in fact, my version of the Bible says, this is desert. Effectively, the angel, it kind of makes me smile, because Philip probably knew that where the angel was saying to go, the end of that road was just desert. And you would not be the only person to think to yourself, well, what the heck? Why would I go to where there's desert? But he went. This is the beautiful adventure of being prepared to go and to be sent. And there was this man, the Ethiopian. And this is for me like a example of how conversations that are set up can happen and flow, because he sees this man reading the Bible. And rather than sort of running in with, if you know what I'm talking about, with the four spiritual laws, anybody ever heard of those? Or rushing in with a tract, or rushing in with his preconceived way of sharing Jesus, he simply said to the man, do you understand what you're reading? What a great question. I want to let you know that probably the most powerful way of having a conversation when you're talking to someone who is exploring God or you're wanting to share your faith with is just ask them questions. You know, I'm probably the worst at being someone who does way too much telling, but if you follow Jesus, he actually, in the Gospels, he was always asking questions. Someone would ask him a question and he would ask them a question. We don't have to answer every question, you know. It's okay actually not even to answer what we're asked, because usually the person who's asking a question is not asking the real question that they want to ask. It needs a few more questions. So Philip just said, do you understand what you're reading? And the man said, well, how can I unless someone guides me, verse 31. And so what a walk-up start. So he asked Philip to come and sit with him. And so they jump into the scriptures, and the next thing, the guy's getting baptized. And I thought, thank you, God, for putting a story in the Bible that shows us how to have a Bedford conversation, shows us how to have a conversation in the workplace, shows us how to have a conversation with the person we've just bought petrol from. God does incredible things. You know, years ago, 3 years ago or so, we had an event in the mall, and one of our volunteers left their phone in the mall. And I was driving home, and his wife called me and said, David, Peter's left his phone in Hornsby. And I thought, oh, I'm not sure what to do about that, but I just prayed and said, God, can you help get Peter his phone back? The next thing, my phone rang. And someone in a petrol station in Warunga who was working on the cash register called me because they had the phone. And I was the last number this person had that Peter had dialed. So they called me and they said, we've got this phone and your number was in the phone. Do you know this person? I said, yes, I do. I said, I'll come and get the phone. And I thought, God, you're moving. So I went to the petrol station. It was the Shell at Warunga. And there's this young girl, an Indian girl, and she gives me the phone. And then she says, are you a pastor? Now, I've no idea even how or why she would ask. I said, yes, I am. She said, can you pray for me? I said, well, what would you like me to pray for? She said, well, actually, I'm a student, and I'm petrified about my exams coming up. And I just feel no peace. Would you pray for me? I prayed for her, and she was very touched. And I thought, God, how amazing are you? When a lost phone causes the Holy Spirit to set up a way that I can turn up and just pray the peace of God. And so for some months, when I bought petrol there, and I often would buy petrol there just to try to find this person, I'd say, how are you going? Like, how's your exams going? How's your studies going? And so this is the Lord we serve. He's a wonderful God. And today I speak courage into all of you that he actually wants to send you. He actually wants you to regard yourself as a sent emissary, representative, ambassador, all those words, a sent one. Jesus was a sent one. Jesus is the prima facie example of that son relationship to a heavenly father who was, whatever you want me to do, Dad, I'll do. I want to be about your father's business, my father's business. And that's us. What a joy to be givers. What a joy to be willing to be sent. What a joy to carry agape love. As we close, and that's interesting. For the first time here in this building, I've said, can we have a clock up there? And it's saying 3:30, so there's something wrong with that, isn't there?
That's good. Maybe God's doing something, but you know, the other wonderful thing about Philip, after he did what God said, the Bible says that he was translated or transported by the Holy Spirit. And the Ethiopian eunuch was kind of like this. I think they said amen after he was baptized. He opened his eyes and Philip was gone. And the Bible says that he had been translated from that particular place at least 15 kilometres, just like that. And he turned up the next moment where God wanted him to be next. That's the kind of supernatural power that we are part of as a God community. I'm waiting for those kind of stories where, thanks Richard, let's thank that man there, he's such a willing servant, 5 to 11. But I want you to stand, and as we close, I have again a vision for what would it be like if the witness of God was so strong that not only that little bit of concrete where we were yesterday became a presence place, what if Hornsby became an ecosystem for the presence of God? What if Hornsby became a place where no darkness could dwell? What if Hornsby became a place where the enemy's power was completely vanquished? What if Hornsby became a place where the works of the devil were completely defeated? What if Hornsby became a place where no drug dealer could ply their trade? Where no abusive husband could in any sense bring harm to his wife? What if Hornsby became a place where there was no no fear, where there was no mental illness, where there was no anxiety? What if Hornsby became that ecosystem? And I'm going to pray over us a blessing today. I'd like you just to close your eyes and just open up your hearts and your hands, perhaps, to be blessed. Because I there was something that happened in our city, in many cities around the world, I understand, on Friday, where there's this thing about climate activism. I want to say today, we're called to be climate activists, but we're called to be supernatural climate activists. We're called to be those who are determined to be eco-warriors for the presence of God. We're called to be those who just have a dream for bringing the presence and changing atmospheres, for changing the climate, changing the spiritual climate. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you today for sending your Son. I thank you today that you sent and you loved. I thank you, Jesus, you were completely willing to be the sent one. And I thank you because you came, because you said yes to your Father, that we are blessed today with an Emmanuel presence right now, even in this room. I thank you today, God, that we have God with us. I thank you for the witness of Jesus today in this very room. I thank you, God, that we are not alone. We're part of a big community of believers, God, that are around many churches today in this area who are meeting and gathering. I thank you today, God, you're doing a work across your church, God, to bring us together. I thank you today you're doing a work across your church to bring unity, to make us one heart and one mind and one soul. But God, today we want to be willing to be those who will go, those who will take risks, those who will love extravagantly, those who will love with adventure, those who will be willing to be agape love carriers. I thank you today, God, we want to be those who not only love but carry revelation, God, and I just speak a grace of revelation upon this people today, God, that we will be a sheep who hear your voice. We will be a sheep who recognize the sound of the presence of God in the word. I thank you today, God, you are doing a wonderful change. And so, God, we see with the eyes of vision. God, we see an ecosystem, God, bigger than this room, bigger than just the bit of concrete we sat on yesterday, God, bigger than Hornsby. We see an ecosystem that is the kingdom of God coming, God, presencing, changing, God, evaporating darkness. We see darkness fleeing. We see darkness being unable to dwell because your light is so strong. And God, we say together, we want to be the light. God, we want to be the light of the world. God, we want to be the carriers of light. God, cause our lights to shine brightly. God, give us a spirit of boldness. I release that grace on us now, God. God, we put aside what we might think are our personalities or, God, what we might think are our inabilities. God, we want to be like Moses, who's prepared to go even though we might stutter. God, whatever the case might be, I thank you, God, for a glory upon this people. God, I thank you, God, for a secure future, God, for this gathering, this church. I thank you, God, that you're on our side. You're not against us. And so, God, we love you. Come on, let's just declare our love. God, we love you. Come on, lift up your voices. We love you, God. We believe in you. God, we're willing to go. We're willing to be sent. And we say thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.